once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. Yes, I greet you in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. Yeah, I wonder sometimes why God has me say that so often when I start these things. But I think part of the reason why is you got to keep everything in the right perspective in the days and the time that we live in. Because, you know, we do live in an evil day and an evil time. And yet light shines through, light shines in the darkness. Light trumps darkness every time. Although, right now, for a window of time, it is necessary that evil ramps up. It is necessary for the plan and purpose of God to be fulfilled that certain things happen. Even as it was necessary for Christ Jesus, the Son of God, to be crucified in order to fulfill God's plan and God's righteous plan and plan of restoration and redemption for all of mankind, even so, it is necessary that certain things happen in the time that we now live in order to fulfill God's plan that was ordained even from the beginning of time. And in eternity, there is no time. We've already done it all once before. We're doing it. We have done it. We will have done it. Time is just I don't want to say it's an illusion, but it's because it's, I mean, excuse me, because it is a part of the construct of the paradigm we live in. So I don't want to say it's an illusion as much as it's a temporal state. It's a state that we go through for a window, and we experience for a window, but it is not eternity. It is not the eternal state. It is not the state that you and I will exist in once this whole thing is over. Now, you know what? It's only in this paradigm that we can experience death and decay, that we can experience things wearing down. Can you imagine being in an existence where things don't rust, things don't rot, things don't die, your body doesn't have problems, have issues, have pain, that you don't wither away? Can you imagine living in a dimension where you're not subject to the constructs and the constraints of what you now experience and know? Isn't that something nice to look forward to? And since you are in this dimension, why don't you, rather than complaining about it, enjoy it? You enjoy what it is to experience limitation for a window of time. And enjoy what it is to experience the trials and the tribulations that you will never know any other way. You know, we would not know what it's like to struggle the way that we do if we were not put in this dimension. If we were not placed here, if we didn't, you know, willingly come to this thing to experience this. See, we had to experience this for ourselves. See, how in the world would we have ever known the challenge without being placed in something where evil is so overwhelming? I mean, think about it. How would we have known the love and the redemption of God? How would we have known the exercise of free will? Free will. I mean, that in order to be able to exercise free will, you've got to have the option of choice. How do you have the option of choice if there's only one? If there's only one put in front of you? You got to have at least a couple of options if you're going to exercise free will. So you have to have the option between the light and the dark, the power of this world or the kingdom of God. You've got to have the options between these different things. If you don't have the ability or if you don't have the options placed in front of you, how then will you make a choice? And in order for the kingdom of God to really, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You know, it's how would you have known the truth of what the kingdom truly is unless everything that was pulling you in another way was there and available to you even now? You see, unless you and I were challenged in that way, and you know, the stakes keep getting raised. You know, the more that you desire to walk with God and that you'll be consistent in that, the more that you're going to have everything in this world offered to you on a silver platter. Because you know why? Because it's right, that righteousness is getting more and more refined in you. And less people are staying on that track. You know, I told a buddy of mine years ago, you know, that in this time that we're now living in, you would see the coffers of hell flung wide open for the people of God, because the enemy would like to buy us off, if at all possible. But see, we're a type that our souls are not for sale. We're a type that we do not look for the shortcut. We're the type that, look, whichever way God sends us, that's the way we go. Whatever it is that he asks of us, that is what it is that we do. We desire his will and nothing more, nothing less. Because in his will there is life and there is peace and there is joy and there is purpose. And when you are in the center of the will of God, you know it. You know there's nowhere else you want to be other than the center of his will. Once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you don't want to be somewhere else because you know what that tastes like. You know what that is like when you... Think about it. Think about the time in your life that you knew for certain that you were right in the middle of what it was that God wanted you to be in the middle of, and you were doing exactly what he wanted you to do. You were in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Well, how did that feel? Pretty amazing, didn't it? That peace, what was it like? You know what that stillness in your soul felt like. And it didn't matter what your financial state was. It didn't matter what people thought about you or said about you. No, you just were there. You were in peace. You were in I am. And in that moment that you were in, you knew what it was to be in the center of what God would have for you. And you didn't want to be anywhere else. See, that's the place the enemy would like to keep you from, to keep me from. And so he continually tries to fill your life up with anything and everything else but God. See, the whole thing with the devil is, look, anything but God in your life. Anything but God. Persecution, sure. Is that going to make you get off track? If no, okay, try pleasure. How about that? How about bliss? How about, what do you want? What do you want? What is it going to take for you to bow down? You know, that was pretty much Luke chapter 4 with Jesus. Was, all right, Jesus, what do you want? You name it. You name the terms. There's only one rule that the devil would have in the end, which is, you know, the enemy would have you to bow your knee, give your heart and your allegiance to the world and the world system. Whereas God would say, nope, you will only serve me and no other. You will only worship me and no other. And when you worship the Lord your God and no other, the only thing that happens, the main thing that happens with that, is that you take everything else for whatever it is that he would have for you. Period. So if he would raise you up, he raises you up. If he would bring you down, you take it with a grateful heart or an accepting heart or however, but you don't question him. Not like that. Not like the world questions. You may wonder, but you always take it back to him. You don't ever accuse him. You accept from his hand whatever he has for you. And I know sometimes that's difficult because, you know, nobody likes to go through the tough stuff. We don't. But we also know that in the things that we go through, that he allows it for a reason. You know, I look back on my life. And I try not to do too much reflective thought because I'd rather be here now, as my dad would say. But occasionally I'll look back and, you know, I think back through a lot of the trials that I faced along the way. And, you know, God really has used those for his good, according to his purpose. He really has. I look back at this point and this time and this stage, and, you know, if I've taken them with a heart of gratitude, if I've not held on to my right to anything, if I've not questioned him, when I've just trusted him and gone with it and said, Lord, I may not even understand, but I trust you. And whatever it is that you say, that's what goes. And I will go your way. Just, Lord, lead and guide me. And just as long as I know that it's you that's leading me, I'll be all right. And when I've trusted him like that, you know what? He's never, ever, ever let me down. And I've looked back in time to come, and when I've looked, I've always seen he's always been there. And even in the most difficult times, God has made some things beautiful out of that. You know, today I was working with a few friends it was a bit of an event, something that was put together. And this whole thing was made possible by, you know, God putting me in another place a few years ago. And I look now and I see today what's happened as a result of just going where God would have led me, doing what he had for me to do. I didn't have to do much. I just had to be there. I just had to be faithful. I had to be obedient. I had to trust him, even when I didn't understand. And when things got difficult, you know what I did? I didn't complain. I just said, help. God, help me, Lord. You know, one prayer, there's been times the only words I could even get out of my mouth was Jesus. In a prayer, Jesus. Maybe I could get help out as well. And there's times I've literally been that weak or that sick or that oppressed or that distraught or that stressed, that's the only word that I could even pray. But I know to whom I call, and I know where my help comes from. I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. And when you know where your help comes from and you know the source, you call out to him, you reach out to him, you trust him. You don't doubt. You know things get difficult, but you don't doubt him. You know, that was the cool thing with Abraham, was he didn't doubt God. In fact, the older that his body got, his faith never waned. He knew the promise of God, and he trusted God in that promise. And God proved himself faithful in his time. You know, it comes a point where whatever happens, you're still going to trust him. You know, I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who, you know, with in the book of Daniel. I mean, their thing was when Nebuchadnezzar threatened them, they said, you know what, hey king, we don't need to be careful in answering you concerning this matter. And they said, but, you know, concerning this thing, we're not going to bow. We are not bowing our knee to the idol that you've set up, because our heart and our allegiance is with the King of Kings. So that is one thing we are not going to do. You know, hey, we'll govern your empire for you. We'll be faithful stewards in your court. We will share the wisdom God gives us. We will do a good job if we're allowed to do our job. But when it comes to our allegiance, when it comes to our soul, when it comes to who it is that we serve at the end of the day, when it comes to who gives us our marching orders, we bow our knee before the King of Kings. We serve Christ Jesus. He is our Lord. And if our Lord has an instruction for us, whatever it may be, that's the one we do. See, that's why, you know, when the servants of God, when we get into situations, that's why sometimes it does get a little bit hard. Because, you know, if we are following God, what He'll do is He'll allow us to go into certain things that will test us and try us and be difficult for us. And in the process of us being tried and tested and things being difficult, you know, our allegiance will be checked as well. What would you like? Would you serve anything more than you'll serve the King of Kings? Here's a shortcut. Here, how about this? You be oppressed, you be stricken, you find things difficult, and then just when you think you're going to crack and break, you're given the option for a golden ticket where all of your dreams and hopes in the world and the things of the world are given to you on a silver platter. But the only thing it requires is that peace of your soul. And you know inside of your spirit, inside the core of your being, something is repulsed when you're a child of God, because that's not you. And you want the Father more than you want those things. See, the world runs after that. The world will bow its knee quickly. The world will give up its soul for a pack of French fries. But the children of God know their worth. They know their value. And they know their value because they understand enough to know that it took the blood of the King of Kings to redeem them. That was the price necessary for the redemption of their soul. So, you know, what is worth more than that? What is it that you would trade for the blood of the King of Kings? Because that's what the price He paid for you. But you would sell your soul for something else? For less? You see how dumb it is what the world does. They think they're so smart. But when it comes to an eternal scale, very dumb. Very, very, very dumb. But you are not them. You're not subject to the limitations. You are not bound by their constraints. You are not under that same yoke of oppression. No, you've got a hope and a future. You've got something to look forward to. You know whom you have believed, and you are persuaded that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. Look, God's got you. He's got you in the palm of His hand. And nothing can separate you from His love. Neither height nor depth, nor angel nor demon, nor power, nor principality, nor spiritual wickedness in high places. Nothing can take you out of His hand. So, that is why. Trust. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. You know, we make it so difficult. It doesn't need to be. God kept it simple. You know? But just love Him. And out of that love, obey Him. And know that He's going to take care of you. He's going to watch out for you. He's going to lead you through. Because if you try to do it on your own, you're going to fail. The arm of flesh will fail you. But if you trust Him and you allow the power of His Spirit to be what takes you through. See, He gave you His Spirit so that you would have power. He gave you His Spirit so that you would have power to put to death the things that keep you from being what God made you to be. But you have to yield to His Spirit. You can't do it in yourself. You have to yield to His Spirit in order to receive that free flow of life through you. And if you don't yield, if you oppose His Spirit, then you're stuck. See, there's a point, you just got to give it up to Him. And you got to say, Lord God, there's nowhere else for me. I know that You have the words of eternal life, and I want You. I don't want anything else. So if You tell me left, I go left. If You tell me right, I go right. Whatever it is You say, that's what goes. But as long as I know that I'm walking with You, I'm good. That's it. That's all I need. Because I trust You. And I love You. And I know that You have the very best in store for me. So help me, Lord. Help me to be what You made me to be. Because that's it. That's all I want. I just want to be what You made me to be. And you know what? He's going to do that. He's going to complete that work that He began in us. He's going to carry it on to completion. So, hey, with that, know that you are loved in Christ Jesus, that God's got you, and that everything is going to be just fine. So, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Talk to you soon. Keep on keeping on. And hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. So, all right. Talk to you later. God bless you. Bye.